Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In the Nicene Creed, we confess that we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. In our text today, specifically our Old Testament and Epistle lessons today, we see this truth. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 lay out the truth of how not horribly long ago, that is thousands, not millions or billions of years ago, God created all things in 6 literal days out of nothing, solely by the power of His Word. That God speaks and what He says happens. All of the material world all around us is encompassed in that great Genesis text, including the formation of male and female and the blessing of their union with children. It is what we see, it is what we are allowed to marvel at, as the psalm in Psalm 8 declares that we marvel at these great creations of God. It is what we witness and what we wonder at when we see something unnatural happen. The creation is meant to be a sign of our God's greatness and our God's might and our God's rule over it all. And yes, as the baptized, we can celebrate that creation in a way much different than the pagans who cannot understand it. Then there is the epistle lesson. We learn of those things made that are invisible things. We learn of rulers and authorities, cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. This is not to say that God created evil things, but that the created things of God, the invisible created things of God, rebelled against God and thus became thoroughly evil, as any rebel against God will become. Note especially in relation to what we learned from God's Word that in Ephesians, the enemy, our enemy, is not flesh and blood. It's not human beings. That indeed, if you point at flesh and blood of others, if you point at the flesh and blood of other human beings as being your enemies, you are not listening to Ephesians 6. We know from Scripture that the perfect creation, the height of which was the creation of the man and the woman in the image of God, that is, in perfect righteousness and holiness toward God in both body and their soul, with their wills intent on pleasing God in all things, we know that that was lost, and the image of God with it. And mankind began begetting children after its own image. An unbelieving mankind, unrighteous, unholy, with a will that is bent on rebellion to God and displeasing to Him in all things. That though mankind changed, God, however, did not change. God was still the God, and He still is today, the God of blessing, the God of declaring things to be good, the God who does great and wondrous things through the power of His Word alone. He is the God who still makes things holy. This God desired to bring back the lost and the fallen world so that Christ Jesus, the Son of the Father, was born of the Virgin Mary, took on flesh and blood Himself and lived amongst us in this fallen world. Our gospel lesson from John chapter 4 is right after some important things. First, we get the hint, of course, of the wedding at Cana where the water was turned into wine. A sign pointing to who Christ is and what Christ does. That in Canaan, at that wedding, He blessed marriage, just like He did for Adam and Eve later in Genesis chapter 2. The sign is meant to teach others about Christ and His teaching. that they would believe his words and his promises, that Jesus had done great signs in Jerusalem and then in Samaria as well, that he is the Christ for the whole world, for all creation. The signs and the wonders, however, were then being misused by the crowds who did not heed Christ's word or listen to his teachings, but instead only sought out the signs, only looked for the wonders, trusting in their senses, their experiences, rather than the word. So our text picks up with Christ heading to Cana of Galilee, that place where he had turned the water into wine, in order to see what fruit had come from those who had seen that sign that he had performed there. It is in this context that we find this official from Capernaum, not far from Cana. We find this official chasing down Jesus to seek out healing for his son. He's a good dad, seeking out the welfare of his child, his son. For the scriptures say, of course, that if a man will not take care of his household, he is no Christian at all. But this official has heard of Christ's works. And to some level, even a small level, he believes in Jesus. That's why he travels those miles to catch Christ and to ask him to come and to help. He wouldn't do that if he didn't believe that Christ could help. That, of course, should remind you of times in your life when you don't seek out Christ's help in your prayers and so forth, that it shows a lack of faith in Christ, a lack of belief that Christ can do anything to help you. But little faith, faith like this official that sought out Christ and asked him for help, Christ works on that faith to properly teach it and to exercise it to make it stronger. The official, either from his habit of normally being an official and giving orders, or perhaps from his weak faith that didn't know Jesus could heal from the distance of Cana to Capernaum, he asked Jesus to come and help him and be there presently with his son in order to heal him. And Jesus responds with a rebuke. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. This rebuke is not just at the official. It's plural. Unless you all see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official again requests help. And Jesus teaches him that Jesus' word is enough. He speaks, "Go, your son lives." Here our Lord gives him something to believe in, something to, as a promise. And here it says the official believes the word of promise, and he went on his way. And his faith is evident in a way that you maybe don't pick up in your first hearing of this text. His faith is evident that he does not run back. The relatively short distance, only a few miles, he does not run back to his son to see if he is healed. No, the text shows us that his servants find him the next day, even though the journey wasn't that far. That faith in Christ and faith in Christ's word makes a person not need to hurry. Not need to be so flustered. That the official heard the word of promise from Christ, from the very Son of God, by whom the heavens and the earth were made, he believed it, and that was his contentment. And his action showed that. Now the servants confirmed the sign had happened. The Lord has physically healed this son of the official from a distance by the power of his word, by his promise. And the official's faith had been strengthened by this. His faith was so strengthened that he came home to his now well son And he showed his faith in teaching his household, and thus it says, even his household believed. But this is the pattern of this text, that the personal actions of God toward this man had been faithfully used in managing his household and in then drawing others to believe in Jesus. This is what God intends for you today. This is what God does for you each and every single time he keeps his promises toward you. From his provision of earthly life to his provision of eternal life, of redemption, of the forgiveness of your sins, every time he has answered a prayer that you have prayed to him, every time he's given you strength to endure any sort of mess and trial and cross and so forth in this fallen world, it is meant to strengthen your faith in his word. And from that strengthened faith to bear witness to those around you, starting in your homes, which for this official also meant many of his employees, that from their household, we can deduce from Scripture the faithful in Capernaum would grow, and it even would include a Roman centurion, a member of the same government as this official. That this is how God works. That first, God cares for you, each one of you. First, God proves how faithful he is to you. That he strengthens your faith in him, your trust in him. And he makes you to trust less in your senses and more in his word. So that you speak of him to others. That your households be places filled with faith in Christ, where the trust in God is evident, especially in the forgiveness of sins, and then in the conduct and the good works of this life in this world. You're at church today. Your chief need, as it always is the forgiveness of your sins. Is Christ able to help you today? Yes. Is he willing to help you today? Yes. His word of forgiveness is spoken here. His body and his blood given and shed for such forgiveness is distributed here. That has Christ earned all of that for you? Yes. By his innocent suffering and death. That this time is his appointed time to deliver that forgiveness to you by his chosen means of grace, which are there solely by the power of his word. The same word that declared that boy to be living. The same word that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Is the same word which is the foundation of baptism and absolution and the supper. The same almighty word. If God has so taken care of these other needs, what of your other needs? What about sicknesses in your home? What about the trials and struggles of this past week's life or these coming months? Is Christ able to help you? Yes. Did Christ himself not create all that is created? Yes, he did. Has Christ not helped you in earlier times? No, he has helped you. And that you are to look on those times in your life and you are to draw upon those past helps as you put your present trust in him now for whatever is going on in your life, whatever you need. Because he is faithful. He will do it. Maybe not in the time or in the way that you would want to demand of him, like that official had first demanded of Christ, but certainly at his own perfect time and according to his own word. See, the God who created all things, visible and invisible, has shown his great love to you in sending Christ Jesus to redeem you. that by his love you have been given a word of promise about the water and the word of your baptism, no matter how long ago it happened. That he has promised the word of absolution, which you heard from Pastor Bakey this morning. He has promised that word of absolution, that it forgives in heaven just as it does on earth. That he has promised by his word, the almighty and all-powerful word of our God, that the bread and wine of the sacrament of the altar are the body and blood of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. That he has promised that the proclamation of God's word which you are hearing, he has promised that it will work to create and sustain faith, living faith in the Lord Jesus. And it has done that, and it does still do that, because Jesus promised it would. In the face of such things which bring life, things of the Word of God which bring life, you may freely leave this place today as one who is living. May that faith which God has given you, may that faith which God strengthens in you, show forth in all the works of love that God has appointed for you to do, and may it also make you a witness of who Christ our Lord really is. In the name of Jesus, amen.